Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
I am Tom Feld. I am the owner and distiller here at Paradise North Distillery in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
You're right on the bay, aren't you?
Yeah, literally right on the bay. Oddly enough, one of the few businesses located directly on Green Bay in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Isn't that a paradox?
I know. It's strange.
It would be a waterfront town.
Yeah, exactly. But
you think that's because of the industrial history?
That's exactly what it is. You know, part of what's changing some in Green Bay is kind of recognizing the value of places like this. The building we're in used to be a warehouse. It's kind of funny now thinking about it. It's like, you know, they had warehousing with a beautiful view.
Right.
So they're recognizing the value of that for other types of businesses like ours.
I've been here before, and when you reinvented the waterfront downtown,
right,
used to be, locals said it was a no-go area.
Right, exactly. It's the same thing. You know, it's always been there, just the priorities or the uses of it have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that whole reinvention of the live-work downtown, so you have some dynamic things going on in the evenings.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not downtown, but we're about a 2-minute drive from downtown. Green Bay's not really that spread out. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot down there. So people can take advantage of what's down there. Mm-hmm. We're a short drive just out here on the bay, so a lot of options.
Well, one of my favorite places in town is right down the waterfront, and that's the classic oldest, most cool amusement park.
Oh, yeah, Bay Beach, exact, just right down the street from us.
That's right out of Hollywood.
Yeah, it is. You know, when people come to Green Bay and they ask me, you know, where to go, what to do, that type of thing, you know, there's certainly Packer-related things, and that's a big draw.
That's almost the big shadow that casts over
it. It is, yeah, but there's so much more, and Bay Beach is just a hidden gem. You just don't find places like that are still so affordable.
And classic wooden roller coaster.
Yeah. I'm at a point in my life where my kids are now adults, so I don't really have a reason to go there, although my wife and I do go ride the Zip and Pip and the roller coaster on occasion. Yeah. But now I have grandchildren, so I'm like, okay, in another year or two, now we get to go through that all again. I'm really looking forward to it.
Let's go back to you.
Yeah.
Where we are. This is a new building, right?
The building is quite old. Like I had said before, it used to be warehouse built in the 50s. Mm-hmm. But now, our portion converted into the distillery. Mm-hmm. So consists of the tasting room area, the out front part, and then the back part is our production area where we do the actual distilling.
That's your background, distiller?
No, not at all. Most of my career has been spent in accounting, finance related. I've owned some other businesses, but...
So this is a game shift for you.
It is. Early on, I knew I wanted to own a business. So I did that, but it was always from that accounting numbers perspective. The missing piece for me is I knew at some point in time I wanted to do a business where I was hands-on. I wanted to actually make something.
So this is literal hands-on.
So it is very hands-on. You know, it took a while to figure out what that was, and is probably roughly 10 years ago when just the idea occurred of opening a distillery.
And what attracted you to that?
Well, it met that hands-on requirement. So that was kind of the first part. It allows for a lot of creativity, which when I worked in accounting, that does not allow for a lot of creativity.
Yeah. You get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it kind of filled that niche for me. And then beyond that, as I started digging into it, you know, I ran across the fact that the city of Green Bay, which is a very old city, has never had a working distillery.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. This is the first ever in the history of Green Bay. A lot of breweries, certainly some wineries, but never a distillery. So it was like, wow, I can actually, in addition to just meeting some of my personal goals and needs, we're able to bring something to Green Bay that's never existed before.
With some of my distiller friends, we joke that brewers are distillers who gave up tours.
Yeah, that's what I always say. We finished the job. Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of people don't realize that's like you are a brewer.
Yeah, that's the.
You start out by making beer, right?
Yeah, the first step of the process, fermentation, while it's not exactly the same, fundamentally, it's the same whether you're making wine or you're making beer. The process of making the actual alcohol is fermentation. So a lot of similarities.
And you literally are hands on.
Yeah, we do it. I am here pretty much every day. We do it all right here.
And how did you garner your knowledge base?
Number of different ways. I certainly read everything I could get my hands on, a lot of information online, took some classes. But probably the biggest thing for me was spending some time with other distillers here in the state who were tremendously helpful in learning the craft and learning the business. Yeah, I got a lot of help from other distillers. It's a real close-knit and open community. If there's a need, there are distillers that are willing to help out.
Tell us about what you do and how you do as far as your end result of the product.
Sure. Our primary focus here at Paradise North is on rum and whiskey, and in particular bourbon whiskey. So,
do you find difference between rum?
So not every spirit, but many of the spirits are defined at least in part based on the raw material that they're made from. Mm-hmm. So rum is something that is fermented and distilled from sugar cane or a byproduct of sugar.
It has to be that to be rum.
It has to be, yeah. Mm-hmm. This part of the country, I'll get asked that a lot. Well, what about sugar beets? Can you make rum from sugar beets? And you can ferment and distill, but you can't call that rum.
So it has to be a cane sugar.
It has to be sugar cane.
So where do you source your cane?
Louisiana. You know, we buy all of our raw materials locally.
Where you can.
Well, relatively speaking. Yeah. So we get our molasses and raw sugar that we use to make rum from the closest sugar cane grower to Green Bay, Wisconsin. It just happens to be 1,100 miles away. But so that's rum. So whiskey is spirit that is fermented and distilled from grain. Now, in the case of bourbon, bourbon is a type of whiskey that has further definitions.
There are some real specific.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. As we're speaking about grain, bourbon has to be at least 51% corn in the mash bill in order to call it bourbon. And then there are some other things.
Back to Kentucky roots, right?
Yeah, although Virginia would make claim to being the birthplace of bourbon. There's some argument there. I don't know which one has it, but yeah, that part of the country.
Kentucky ran with it.
Yes, exactly. Definitely. Bourbon is, it's the one spirit that's unique to the United States. So you can make bourbon anywhere in the United States. If you could make the same thing in a different country, but you wouldn't be able to call it bourbon.
In the case of bourbon, one of the rules, as I remember, is once used, new oak. You don't reuse your barrels. And the, and the Scottish people love them because of that.
Well, yeah, the Scotch whiskey people love that. Rum people love that, too.
Because you can use used oak for your rum.
Exactly. And that's part of what we do. Now, we just started releasing some of our own bourbon, but, you know, our bourbon barrels.
How much can you reuse?
I mean, how often can you reuse it?
Yeah, let's say you get a once used bourbon barrel and you're going to use it for your rum. So now it's second use. What happens on the third and fourth?
Yeah, so rum, you could get a couple more uses out of that with rum. The other thing with those barrels is, like, we've already started to do some collaborative projects with wineries and breweries in the area. So they will take our used barrels.
They like what you're giving them.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And then when they're done with those barrels, we will take them back.
Wow.
So
can you rechar?
Yes, you can. I don't know that we will do that.
Sure.
But I'm going to say easily 5-6 uses out of a barrel. So yeah, they get a lot of use before they're used up.
And let's jump to whiskey.
Yeah.
Because that's normally what, one time with the barrel?
Bourbon whiskey, most whiskeys, but not all. Okay. Yeah, because Scotch is a whiskey, and mm-hmm. they're using used barrels. Corn whiskey uses a used barrel, but yeah, in the case of bourbon that we do, those are all new charred oak mm-hmm. barrels, white oak barrels.
And so, how do you make your whiskey not be lighter fluid, but be a really fun?
Yeah.
Taste experience.
So our particular process here, there's a few areas of focus for us. One is on fermentation. Mm-hmm. So how we ferment, and then the yeast that we use for fermentation, is everything we do there is specific to developing a particular flavor profile mm-hmm. that we're after.
So that's a huge variable in
your
ingredients, because you don't have that many variables.
Right. So that's a very important part of the process. So we do that in such a way, we want a fermentation that creates a lot of flavors. Mm-hmm. That's part of our program. Then in the distillation process, that's the other part, is we only do pot distillation. So again, if we're looking at doing like column distillations or some other methods of distillation that might be designed to remove some flavors, our process is designed to not remove,
to keep those flavors,
to maintain those flavors through the process.
And that pot still, that's kind of classic old school Scotch.
It is, yeah. We have two different style stills, but our still that we use for our finish or our final distillation mm-hmm. is called an alembic style still, which you don't see that style of still used much in bourbon production. Rum, yes, mm-hmm. very common. They're also very common with brandy. But again, it gives us a very unique and different flavor profile off mm-hmm. of the still.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the one right in front of us, that's a classic.
It is.
That looks like you cut a deal with a moonshiner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's that alembic style. Mm-hmm. Very old type. Yeah. Very old. One of, if not the first style of still. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we have found now, we've found this with whiskey, but we're also noticing it with rum, is aging. We kind of have a interesting like microclimate thing going on here, being located right on the bay. Mm-hmm. Our humidity is higher than in many areas of the state. Now, the state of Wisconsin is fairly high humidity to begin with, but what that does is humidity will affect how the spirit ages. We lose, our angel share is less, so what evaporates out of the barrels is less than many distillers.
That's because of the moisture in the air.
It is, okay. Yeah. So in dry climates, you tend to lose a lot,
but
less
here,
so in humid.
2%?
Well, we were at, see, there's a lot of variables mm-hmm. to that, but in our 15-gallon barrels, we lost 11%
oh, wow.
in 16 months.
How long do you typically age your whiskey?
Our target for our initial barreling was in 15-gallon barrels, which is a smaller format mm-hmm. barrel. Our target there is 18 months. Mm-hmm. Our initial release was less than that, but we'll be at 18 months real shortly here.
And have you played around with librarying some and see what happens?
Yeah, I do hope to put some away, not so much in the 15-gallon barrels, mm-hmm. but we're filling 30-gallon barrels.
Right.
And our target there is to be at least 2 years with the 30 gallons. Mm-hmm. But with those, I do have some that I hope to not mm-hmm. have to release to be able to stash those away.
What's the differential, do you imagine, holding it for another year or two?
Yeah.
What happens?
Well, so the thing that age gets you with any spirit is, the easiest way for me to describe it is, the spirit just tends to mellow, and it's mm-hmm. why people are drawn to aged spirits. You know, an unaged spirit or a lightly aged spirit just has a bit of a bite to it that mm-hmm. you don't get in the older spirits.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of other things going on underneath that in terms of the development of flavor profiles and esters and
right.
the, you know, acids and alcohols joining to create flavors.
One of the disconnects that you as an accountant would totally appreciate, if you tie up a barrel for an extra 4 years, you have no return on investment for that whole time.
Yeah. If I get asked, you know, why are some things, you know, more expensive than others and so forth, one of the primary things that you pay for is age. Because, yeah, it costs to leave that set, you know. It costs to have that space to keep those barrels in. Yeah.
Do you sell everything you produce here, basically, or do you distribute around the state?
We are distributed. That just got started this year. So we really, in the last few months, have picked up some momentum with that. Primarily right now, mostly Northeast Wisconsin, few exceptions, and more so higher end restaurants and bars, a few liquor stores. But yeah, starting out, the bulk of our business has been right here through our tasting room.
Talk to us about your flagship. You know, what do people think of and come looking for and remember?
Yeah, so rum is kind of our niche. Not that there aren't other distillers in the state that do rum, but not to the extent that we do. And part of that is rum is one of my passions. I think it's a highly underrated and misunderstood spirit. Mm-hmm. So it was something that I knew from the very beginning that I wanted to do, and I really wanted to dive into it and specialize in it.
Entering international competition?
Actually, we have. Okay. So we've done 3 competitions this last year, so earlier in 2022, and have done quite well, and rum is what we've sent off. Our silver rum has won both gold and silver medals at different competitions, Denver, New York, the ADI, which is the Distillers Association competition.
That's pretty cool.
Our coffee rum has done really well. At the ADI competition, it was awarded best in category, so it was the top rated of all the flavored products that were judged. So, yeah, we've only done a few, but we've already been getting some really good feedback.
Cool. So when somebody comes here, what's the lexicon? What are the options of tasting?
Oh, so when we do tours here, we will, as part of our tours, it includes a tasting, and we're up to 13 different products now, and we let people choose between the various types of rum. We have a couple of bourbons, a few different types of vodkas, so there is quite a choice. And different people tend to gravitate towards different things. Some people like the flavored things. They like some of the sweeter things. Some people just like to stick to the bourbons and like our gold rum, which is our aged rum. They prefer those types of products. So, you know, a little bit of kind of something for everyone.
So at this point, the majority of your world is retail people coming here to have a fun experience.
Yeah, we're a distillery. We distill spirits, but our goal is more than that. A lot of it is, you know, we started out talking about our location and where we're at. A lot of it is just creating an escape. I'll tell my staff that I really judge our success based on smiles and laughs in the tasting room. People are happy.
Yep.
That's good. What we want. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, I should let you go. This has been really fascinating, Tom.
Thank you.
Tom, to learn more about your world, where would you direct us?
Online is the best place to go. Our website is ParadiseNorthDistillery.com. Facebook is also, if for people who are on social media, Facebook and Instagram, we're very active on there. That's like the most current information in terms of what we have going on. Our address is 101 Bay Beach Road in Green Bay. It's pretty easy to get to if you can find Bay Beach Road. You just
look for the roller coaster.
Exactly. Go past Bay Beach all the way to the end and hang a right. We're located at the South Bay Marina Complex right on the water.
Awesome, Tom. Thanks again.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, we've been speaking with Tom Feld, president and ruler of Paradise North Distillery in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.
I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.